Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane.
Welcome to this post-election day edition of Family Talk. We are so glad you've joined us. And I imagine you probably have some thoughts and questions of your own about what happened on Tuesday. And Ryan, that's exactly what we'll address here.
And I am very, very happy about it. I think it's going to be a great program. You know, I heard a quote from one of our founding fathers the other day that really relates to this topic. John Adams said, "Always vote for principle, though you may vote alone, and you may cherish the sweetest reflection that your vote is never lost."
Never lost. Mm-hmm. Boy. Ryan, we saw that come into play on Tuesday. Your dad and mom, Dr. and Mrs. Dobson, are out of town today. They're actually in Kansas City meeting with some Family Talk friends. But yesterday, he spoke with Gary Bauer by phone to get his thoughts on this midterm election. Of course, Gary is the founder and president of American Values, and he also served in President Ronald Reagan's administration for 8 years. He is a very well-respected gentleman around here. I'm sure you're curious about their conversation, so let's get right to that now.
Well, thanks for joining us, Gary, and giving us this post-election analysis. It is always good to talk to you. I think that you are one of the most articulate people when it comes to looking at what's going on in the nation, especially on Election Day and its aftermath. So
thank you,
your willingness to give us some time this
morning. Thank you. I can't think of a better person a few days after the election to talk about the things that happened around the country as we pore over all these results.
Well, we need to explain that you and I are recording these comments on Wednesday morning, which would be yesterday as people listen. So some of the races have not been decided and some of the results are not yet in as of Wednesday morning. But I think people can get a sense for what happened and where we're going. With that, let's start by your taking a look at the broader picture. What did happen on Tuesday night and what's its meaning?
You know, Jim, I think that you almost have to go back to 2 years ago in the previous election when President Obama swept into office in a landslide and brought major changes in the House and Senate. The country was pretty optimistic at that point. 75% of the country gave him a high approval rating. There were high expectations, but as we all know, over the last basically 2 years, I think a lot of people were just shocked by what was coming out of Washington. A lot of very radical policy ideas. You had the big health care debate, and people were watching as many congressmen that said they were pro-life, particularly on the Democratic side, voted for that legislation. And I think everybody concedes now that in that bill, in that law, money will now go, taxpayer money will now go to pay for abortions. We saw some of the advances being made by the radical gay rights movement, the president trying to change Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the military, which is getting a lot of resistance, these ballooning deficits, which many of us feel is a moral issue, you know, putting this debt on our children and grandchildren. And so as all this went on, all the shenanigans and all of the backroom deals and laws being passed that no one had read, et cetera, a rebellion began to bubble up around the country. And I think what we saw on Tuesday was that rebellion finding its voice, because from one end of the country to the other, people turned out in large numbers and voted for, by and large, the more conservative traditional candidates. And the results, I think, are going to send a real shock wave through the political establishment of this country.
Especially in the House, where the most dramatic changes were made. I was checking the record this morning, and the landslide of 1994, when Republicans picked up either 54 seats or 52, I heard it both ways, but a lot of seats. But as of this morning, the Republicans, mostly conservative candidates, snagged 62 seats.
Yes.
That's a dramatic shift given the overwhelming result from 2008.
It is huge. It's historic. You've got to go back quite a few decades to find anything like this.
And, Gary, the gubernatorial seats have shifted dramatically, and that has major implications for 2012.
It does. The governors that won their seats and ousted liberal incumbents, those new governors, and I think as of now, we believe there may be 8 of them and an additional 7 or 8 that are still up in the air as we're speaking. Most of those governors, newly elected governors, are not only fiscal conservatives, but they're pro-life and pro-family. And as a governor, they will have a major say, along with the state legislatures, in how the lines are drawn for the congressional races 2 years from now.
Gary, take a second to explain why that is so critical.
Well, unfortunately, in American politics, we have this thing called gerrymandering. It's probably one of the reasons that the public gets so turned off about politics and government. But gerrymandering refers to drawing the congressional district lines in a way that it becomes very hard for your political opponents to win many seats. And in recent years, because the governorships and the state legislatures have been controlled by liberals, the gerrymandering has all gone against conservative candidates. This new drawing of the lines, which will happen between now and 2012, will be a lot more fair given the number of conservative governors that have been elected and given how many state legislatures have now fallen into conservative hands.
You know, I watched the returns to about 1:30 last night and got up at 4:30 this morning, so I'm a little sleepy today. But I didn't hear anybody talk about the state legislatures in all that time, and I didn't leave the television set. That is really interesting news, that not only was there a shift in Washington, but at the state level through governors and state legislators.
Absolutely. And some of these are really dramatic, Jim. For example, in Maine, both houses of the legislature are now in Republican hands for the first time in 30 years. In Alabama, the House and the Senate went Republican for the first time in 132 years.
Oh.
So you've got to go back to the 1920s to find a time when conservatives and or Republicans were in charge of this many state legislatures around the country.
The president took some real hits on Tuesday night, didn't he? I mean, it was a tough night for him. What a rebuke to the president that his own Senate seat in Illinois went to a Republican, Kirk.
Yeah, you know, this is so amazing to me, Jim, because candidate Obama appeared to be brilliant when it came to how to interact with the American people. I mean, he gave these great speeches during the campaign 2 years ago. They were kind of vague, but at least they were upbeat, and people listened and said, wow, this guy wants to bring us together. He understands that we want real activity, real progress in Washington.
People got so excited about his speeches that some of them passed out.
Yes, regularly. I had a couple people pass out of some of my speeches, but I think it was for the opposite reason. You know,
that's funny.
But yes, it was amazing. And I looking back on this, when you look at some of the things he promised, if he would have done those things, I think the elections this week would have been quite different. Because remember, he said all new legislation would be posted online and people would have a period of time to read the legislation before he would decide whether to sign any of it or not. Well, not only did we not get to read it, but the congressmen themselves didn't get to read it. He said there'd be an end to backroom deals, that all the deliberations would be open and televised. the exact opposite happened. We had more important meetings go on behind closed doors than we ever had in our history. So you can just go down this list, which was extraordinarily ill-advised for the president to do, but I think there was a certain feeling in Washington that the country had shifted massively to the left. And so you're right. I look at this election as sort of a national restraining order that has been issued by the American people to the president, Nancy Pelosi, and Harry Reid, just saying, stop. We want you to stop. We did not vote for massive debt, massive new government programs, massive new bureaucracy. We didn't vote for a redefinition of marriage and more abortion and all the rest of this. And we want you just to stop. And I think there is a real chance now that some of these things can be stopped.
Gary, and along that same line, commentators on all the networks and cable television kept talking about Republicans reaching across the aisle and finding common ground with Democrats and the president. I don't think that ought to be the goal of this Congress. The country has been moving in the wrong direction, and the Republicans should do what they can, as you just said, to stop it, to turn it around, and to change those policies, because they're destroying the economy of the country and the family and many other concerns.
Look, you're absolutely right. The commentators saying these things, by and large, are the same people who for the last 6 months have been lashing out at almost every conservative candidate in the country. And now that those candidates won in spite of all those commentators, these commentators have enough chutzpah to turn around and say, well, now let me give you some advice about what you should do now that you've won in spite of everything I did to try to make sure you lose. I'm hoping
these Fox News commentators are making those kind of comments. And, if I hear somebody say, reach across the aisle, to find common ground again, the way John McCain did in the last election, I think I may just throw a shoe through the TV. Well, I'm sick of hearing that.
The TVs all over America will be in danger, Jim, because I think we'll all be throwing shoes. Look, a lot of these things, there is no common ground. What is the common ground in the debate between whether taxes need to go up or taxes need to go down? What's the common ground on whether marriage is between a man and a woman or it can be two men or two women? What's the common ground on whether an unborn child is a human being covered by our founding documents and protected and welcomed into the world, or whether it's the equivalent of a styrofoam cup that can be disposed of by somebody's whim? The really important issues facing our country, there is no common ground. Either, as you and I said in a book many years ago, one side will win, and the winner gets to choose what kind of values and what kind of government our country will have.
So from that perspective, gridlock is not a bad thing.
It isn't at all. Gridlock, quite frankly, to the extent we had some of that in the last 2 years, stopped even worse things from being done. This gigantic new tax that they wanted to put on all forms of energy, which I think would have sent the economy really into a tailspin.
And, of course, deficit spending. Where's the common ground on that?
Yes.
Massive expenditures of the tax money and putting future generations at risk. Going back to what we were talking about a minute ago with this election being a referendum on President Obama himself, I was taking note that in the last 2 or 3 weeks, the president concentrated on 4 states, Illinois, Ohio, Virginia, and Pennsylvania. He went to some other places, but he went back to those states over and over again, and he lost all 4. I mean, most of the important races in those states he lost, including his own seat.
You never want to be thought of as a political person. That's not been your calling. But you've always been one of the most astute political analysts that I know. I was thinking the same thing as I sat in my living room last night. Isn't it funny? All those high-paid commentators, I didn't hear many of them or any of them really bringing that up. Having the president campaign for you this year was the kiss of death politically. He only went in for one House race in Virginia, this guy Pierrello, who was in a sort of Republican-leaning district and voted for the health care bill. The White House tried to save him, and he lost last night. So you're absolutely right. There were no presidential coattails last night.
Gary, in that regard, I regret the fact that Barack Obama has failed. Mm-hmm. He was an historic president, the first black president, and it would have been wonderful if he'd have stepped in there and used the excitement over his election to go back to constitutional principles and to stand for smaller government and all those things. I would have been applauding him and would probably have been voting for some of the people in his party. But he did the exact opposite, and we have to call it like it is. I think the man has been a disaster for this country.
Oh, I do too, Jim. And I don't know whether he'll get the message of this election or not, but you're right. To be the first man of color to be elected to the presidency was something that I think millions of Americans felt really good about. We want to put that legacy we have, unfortunately, of the slave era behind us. And I think many of the young people that voted for the president saw in him the opportunity for racial reconciliation, for moving beyond some of these issues and bringing the country together. Unfortunately, he's been very divisive, not only between the races in some cases, but between classes of America, the playing the class warfare card over and over again for me has been just deeply depressing, because we are all in the same boat together. As the president, when he was a candidate, used to say, we're going to sink or not together.
Yeah.
And making Americans think that you may be losing your house because another guy has a big house, or you don't have a job because some other businessman is making a profit. That is not what's gone wrong in America. It's not that some people succeed. What's gone wrong is that right now not enough people are succeeding, and we need to make sure we get back to job growth and the rest of it. And you don't do that by turning one American against another.
Gary, about 5 o'clock this morning, I was thinking about this conversation and about what had happened. And I want to ask you a little more complex question that I want to get your ideas about. We all know that the Obama administration has extended the tentacles of government in more areas of American life than I think has ever been done in American history. He's tried to take over the automobile industry and healthcare and the food industry and public education and banking, and on it goes. That's why many of us are concerned about socialism. That's what socialism is, when government runs everything. But I read, to my shock last week, that one of the president's czars, who happens to be in the Department of Education, used to be a member of the radical homosexual group ACT UP. I'm sure many of our listeners remember that group. I mean, they would break into churches. They would do all kinds of things to attract attention. Well, he was one of them. And now he's trying to implement a policy requiring all colleges and universities to be licensed by the government. And that is outrageous. They didn't even exempt Christian colleges and universities until there was a firestorm in response to it, and they backed off a bit. But the effort continues to control higher education. So this is my question. Does this big win for conservatives, for smaller government than all that was implied by the results on Tuesday night. Does that mean that the federal government is going to be less intrusive into our private lives and into our businesses in the future?
Jim, you've just asked a key question, because what we've seen in the last 2 years, you're absolutely right, it's unprecedented. The bureaucracy in Washington has expanded massively. There's been tens of thousands of new bureaucrats hired. And these bureaucrats sit around all day trying to run our lives, whether it's our schools, our businesses, our families, or whatever. I'm afraid that what the president will do here is, seeing that he's now got a Congress where it's going to be a lot harder for him to get his agenda through, that instead he will step up efforts by that bureaucracy to issue regulations. And that is going to be a very difficult thing for those of us concerned about the growth of socialism in the United States to stop. It probably means we're going to have to file a lot of lawsuits, try to tie things up in the courts, drag in a lot of these bureaucrats for hearings in the House of Representatives, and see if they're exceeding their power, which I believe many of them already have. But that's probably going to be the real battlefield. I expect a lot more executive orders to be issued and a lot more things to be done by unnamed, faceless bureaucrats, unfortunately, than even what we've seen in the past 2 years.
You know, every day on this broadcast, almost without exception, I look up at the clock and I say, where did the time go? I'm just getting started, and there's so many other things I wish we could talk about. A couple of them are the fact that the marijuana initiative in California went down to defeat. I was so pleased at that. In Oklahoma, they passed a ban on Sharia law.
Absolutely. Go Oklahoma.
Right. Even though it's not operative there at this time, it was just preemptive. It was sending a message saying, don't bring it here.
Yes.
And others. But I want to conclude by taking us back to 1994 and a very clever political cartoon. I wonder if you saw it. It was published right after the Republican takeover in that year, and they won 54 seats in the House. And it showed President Bill Clinton with a big, angry GOP elephant behind him and a tusk going through his chest and out the other side. And the caption read, I feel your pain. It does look like at another time and place there is some pain in Washington. We don't wish anybody any ill will, but I am pleased to have some conservative, pro-life, pro-moral, pro-family legislators coming to Washington, and I do hope they have the courage of their convictions.
I agree, Jim. Another win we had was defeating three judges on the Iowa Supreme Court.
Hey, explain that. That is too important to leave out.
Yes, the Iowa Supreme Court a year or so ago ruled, I think unanimously, that Iowa had to permit same-sex marriage. The people of that state were in shock by that decision. It just came out of the blue. People all over the country don't want any change in the definition of marriage. In Iowa, the judges are up on the ballot periodically, and this year three of those justices were on the ballot, and a number of groups joined together and ran some television ads about it. This was the chance of Iowa voters to tell those judges what they thought of that ruling, and all three of those judges were defeated and are now no longer Supreme Court justices, which is just amazing.
I wonder how that will get reported around the country. I didn't know it till you told me right before we went on the air. Has that been expressed?
It is one of the best kept secrets of American politics. You've got a gazillion commentators. You got every major network covering these races. And isn't it strange that nobody wants to point out three state Supreme Court justices sent packing? Hopefully, even if the media doesn't talk about it, judges around the country have gotten the message.
Gary, thank you for talking to us. It's been enlightening, and we'll come back to you because this is just the beginning.
Fantastic. Great to be with you, Joe.
Always good to hear from Gary Bauer. Mm-hmm. He is so not just intelligent, but you like to listen to him.
I really do.
Yeah. What a great program.
And we hope you've had some of your questions answered as you've listened in today. I'm sure you have many, many more. Stay tuned to Family Talk here. We will be returning to this. In fact, coming up in just about a week and a half, beginning on the 15th of November, we will be devoting several more days to this. Mm-hmm. Dr. Dobson has some amazing comments that he would like to treat you to. You will hear a lot more again. Keep it tuned to Family Talk. In the meantime, if you have some questions about your own races, Ryan, we'll put some links up online so people can get the latest information.
That's right. We hope you'll come to our website. It's myfamilytalk.com. We'll have a lot more information there about your particular races.
And in the meantime, do remember that we are a listener-supported program. We need your support as we continue battling for the family all the way through to 2012. You can donate online at that same website, myfamilytalk.com, or the phone number 877-732-6825.
God bless. We'll see you next time.